Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We got to bring Jason Wilde in on this conversation. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We're good. So Chewy started watching Severance last night, and while he thinks he's going to enjoy the show, he said he's having a tough time seeing the main character as anything other than the character from Step Brothers, where he plays the douchey brother. Yeah, we all remember. Obviously, we've seen Step Brothers a million times. Is there any actor that happens to you with? You see him in a role, but because he had such a defining role or such a significant role earlier in their career, you can't see him as anything but that character?
I've never watched Severance, and I've never seen Step Brothers. So, boy, am I useless here. Actors who are always the one person that they, like their defining role, though, that's a good question.
A lot of people have said Jason Alexander, right? They see Jason Alexander and they only see George Costanza. And it doesn't matter how great. And by the way, wasn't he like the most decorated actor of the cast and crew? He had had like Broadway experience and theater experience. And now, you know, and so then we ask the question, would you trade a wide career with multiple roles for what George Costanza / Jason Alexander had, which was one defining role that made you obscenely wealthy?
He was, speaking of douchey, wasn't he like the douchey
best friend,
assistant, best friend, whatever it was, to Richard Gere in Pretty Woman?
Sure was.
I'm sorry, I feel like a complete failure today. And Josh even told me that this was going to be the topic.
No, well, here's the thing, Jason. I bet you as the day goes on, or the next time you're watching something or you see something, it'll come to you. It's one of those things that it's hard to kind of excavate in the moment, although our talking text line is popping off. So John Hamm will always be Don Draper to Josh in Heartland. Jamie Lee Curtis is always Laurie Strode to Jared in Canton. He also suggests Kevin James is always Doug Heffernan. That was King of Queens?
King of Queens.
Yeah.
Jason, clearly for you, a Law & Order fan, Sam Waterston is always going to be Jack McCoy.
Yeah, except I watched The Newsroom.
And he's basically playing Jack McCoy as a news director.
Yeah, but I didn't think of him as Jack McCoy running the newsroom. So, I will say this. There are plenty of actors who seemingly play the same role over and over again. I also would say that Lenny Briscoe, who is also like the dad in Dirty Dancing, Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner, like if they have the role previous to the role that they come to define, like Jerry Orbach did. Mm-hmm. Like Jerry Orbach is a little bit like Jason Alexander. He had an incredible career. He was in movies. He was on Broadway.
Wasn't he Lumineer in Beauty and the Beast?
He was indeed.
Wow, good pull by you, Gabe. That's incredible.
What about Matthew Broderick, Ferris Bueller? He's hard to get past.
Yeah, I don't appreciate you stepping on my singing, but that's cool. Yeah, that's another good one, Chewy.
But Jason, would our loyal listeners appreciate Chewy stepping on your singing?
I don't appreciate that either. clinically.
I guess I'll just go home now. That was Forrest Gump, by the way, and Josh can't stand Tom Hanks, which still bothers me.
Josh doesn't like Tom Hanks?
That's news to me.
You just said he's the same actor in...
That was Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise.
Oh, boy.
I take that back.
Thank you.
Hey, we all know that listening is not my strong suit.
I was about to say, I thought I would have been aware of Josh's Tom Hanks take.
Cool, Tom.
Jason.
Yes, Chew.
better chance where they do nothing in free agency, and I don't mean a T. Higgins or a Max Crosby, but some kind of splash. Better chance where they do nothing, receiver or D-line?
Ooh, D-line, only because, and look, Goody could be playing misdirection games, but when he spoke after the season, and as I've learned firsthand, you can't always take what he says at face value, but he sure sounded like a guy, and they fired the defensive line coach. He sure sounded to me like a guy who thinks that there's enough talent there, and they just struggled to convert from 3-4 to 4-3, and that they're going to be fine in year two. I mean, do I think he adds a guy or two in the draft? Probably. But, you know, I think all the big names are not likely to end up in Green Bay. Now, you know, I keep bringing up this guy that Domofsky brought up to us, who's a free agent from Dallas, defensive tackle. He kind of fits the suit of a guy who was not a first-round pick, has not really broken out as of yet, and could be on the cusp of really having like a big breakthrough season, like Za'Darius Smith frankly did, right? Remember Za'Darius Smith came over from Baltimore. He had 8.5 sacks his last year with the Ravens, and then he had 13.5 with the Packers and was crucial to them making the NFC Championship game in LaFleur's first season. The guy's name is Oso Odigizua, which I know if they do sign him, Chewy will have a lot of fun pronouncing that on a regular basis. But that, I'm not saying that they're going to sign him just because Domofsky's buddy Todd Archer thinks they might. Todd Archer is the Domofsky of the Cowboys beat. But that's the type of player, and they don't feel like big splashes at the time. Like, you kind of thought that Xavier McKinney was good when they signed him, but, you know, he played for the Giants. It's not like he'd been this, you know, superstar with them. And then you look at what he did last year, like that is, talk about being typecast, George Costanza. That's Goody. Those are the types of signings he makes. Like, you know, when people bring up the idea of trading for Myles Garrett or trading for Max Crosby, if you brought it up in Goody's garage, standing next to his beer fridge with him. It'd be really cold right now, by the way. And why is it that when it gets bitterly, bitterly cold, your fridge actually does not keep things cold? Have you noticed that in the freezer? Do you have one in your garage? The idea that Goody's going to take a big swing on a T. Higgins, there's no evidence of that. When he was talking about making trades for players, the best one he could come up with was the trade for Favre. Almost 35 years ago now. Like, Ted didn't do it, and neither does Goody. So I think those types of guys are the ones, if you're scouring Pro Football Focus's top 100 free agents, those are the type of guys to keep an eye on. Non-first-round picks, haven't really broken out yet, are going to get paid, but not like crazy big money, and guys that they're best football is ahead of them because they're still in their early to mid-20s.
Is that also true at wide receiver? While everybody is fantasy booking a Devontae Adams Packers reunion, they'd be more likely to grab somebody like Christian Kirk, who did have a breakout, but he's still in his 20s, or Chris Godwin, who is still in his 20s and a little bit younger.
They're in their 20s, but how far into their 20s?
So, like, I feel like Chris Godwin's 29, Christian Kirk is 28.
Yeah, don't those guys, if you're using the Goody theorem, don't those guys still feel a little bit older to you? Like, obviously
yeah.
not as
yeah,
old.
Yeah, Godwin does. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it would be a third contract for both of them, right? But I mean,
he loves those.
Also, any wide receiver who has the potential to have 1,000 yards is not going to be a free agent after their rookie season. Like, teams just tend to sign those guys.
Their rookie contract, you mean?
Yeah. Like, when they're coming off their rookie contract, like, if they've got potential and they're about to break out, it feels like teams are just going to lock those guys up to contracts, and you're not going to see guys that are coming off the rookie contract in free agency that are really worth anything at that position.
Yeah, I said the Strolf. He was he and Kyle Wallace were handling Sunday Karma on Sunday, and the argument that I made for Adams and what I told Strolf is that this week I'm waiting to find out if Goody's going to talk to us before he goes because I'm not going to Indianapolis for the scouting combine, because some years he's done that and then others he just talks to who goes there. And I think Domofsky could be the tipping point because he's not going to the combine now.
Wow.
ESPN only allows them to go to one or the other. And the combine used to be the carnival that kicked off the traveling circus that is the NFL season. Like I went for 20 plus straight years because it was so critical. Like every coach, every agent, every general manager, all the assistant coach staffs, all the scouting staffs were all there. Like it was the epicenter of the NFL. And now you've got, I think Sean McVay was the trendsetter, but then so many coaching staffs have followed suit, including Matt LaFleur and his staff, that they don't go at all. I still don't get that. Like you're $15 billion industry. Like, spend the money. You'd never know what kind of pieces of information you might glean by having your coaching staff there, whether it's connecting with a guy who might someday be on your staff, or you hear something in a conversation with a prospect that clicks that others don't hear. Like, all those, I can't believe that it's become basically not worth your time. But Goody sometimes would talk beforehand, and that's when he said the stuff about how his tenure would be decided by the next quarterback after Rodgers. That was the year going into the 19 draft when they were going to take Drew Locke at 12 instead of Rashawn Gary. And then the subsequent year, obviously, they took Love. That it was in that meeting in the Lombardi boardroom with the beat writers that he said that Devontae was a Hall of Famer and that they studied the numbers and those guys are productive well into their 30s, and basically was telling us that they were going to bring back Devontae, and then they tagged him and traded him. So I'm hoping that, because I just want to know, are you interested? Are you in or are you out on Adams? Like, I'm not saying you're going to get him. I'm not saying you're going to sign him. There are obviously lots of steps between liking the idea of having him on your team and actually having him on your team. But, like, if Goody's out on him already, then we're all just wasting everybody's time. And so I told Strolf I was going to text him this week and just say, hey, I don't want to keep talking about Adams if you have no interest in him. So that's on my to-do list for today, along with cleaning the litter boxes.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Nothing on the litter box line? I thought that was this was probably one of my worst appearances on this show ever, and I want to apologize, not to you knuckleheads, because I didn't think you guys helped me much, but certainly to us.
It's fair.
You can sing now if you want.
I will. Not you don't. I'm going to withhold my beautiful singing voice from you because you stomped on my attempt to be Jerry Orbach in Beauty and the Beast. All right, guys, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I believe I remember Adam Schefter talking to us when we were talking about the coaches at the draft, and we were trying to figure out if that was something we should be frustrated about as a Packers fan base. Like, why isn't our coaching staff going? And I believe he mentioned that it was just inefficient for them. There are too many people who want a piece of their time, whether it's coaches looking for a job, whether it's reporters looking for a nugget, or, you know, like I think he mentioned that, like, that contributed to, and they weren't able to do what theoretically you would want them to be doing, which is evaluating talent and having conversations to glean those little pieces of information, those little nuggets, and therefore they just decided it wasn't worth their time. We will continue this conversation right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, it's the only place to go for that engagement ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's exactly what I did. It's exactly what you should do as well. Maybe you don't have an idea of what that ring should look like, though. That's where that helpful team at the Jewelry Center comes in. You know, they'll start. Okay, what are you looking for? Naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for. Of course, they'll have it at the Jewelry Center. But if you go to our Pinterest page, bring in some of those ideas. The team at the Jewelry Center always going to be able to point you in the right direction. The Jewelry Center, with their inventory, check them out online, shoptjc.com, or any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. When you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story, because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh, and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar, and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.